Welcome to Head Games Radio on Sirius Satellite Sports Byline Network. Got a great show for you. We're going to start off today with one of the great new general managers in the NFL, Marv Levy, to talk about their big win over the Jets and also some more about some analysis of bringing along these young quarterbacks like a Rex Grossman. Here's Rex Grossman after the game yesterday.
Really, you know, I just wanted to execute efficiently, and, you know, that's what I did. Took what they give me. You know, if they weren't two-man, you know, may take off and run it every once in a while. So that's what I was able to do. And I was able to calm down early and see the field and just distribute the ball by, you know, just taking what they gave me.
It'll be interesting to see. That's also courtesy of ESPN. I want to thank. It was interesting to see Rex Grossman keeping his helmet on after the game. It's like he had his game face on because he had so much pressure on him. We're going to talk with Ron Jaworski after Marv Levy about that, about the way that he is being, shall we say, nurtured, and the particular philosophy of the Chicago Bears in that regard. We're going to talk about Drew Brees and whether he is not the MVP, whether he might even get it in the edge in terms of how valuable Drew Brees is versus his team. I think he gets the edge over LT, with all due respect to LT. And we're going to talk about LT versus Jim Brown and get some comments from Jaws and Marv Levy about that. Sam Huff certainly had a lot of interesting comments about that. Finally, we'll talk with Jim Beattie about the Matsusaka situation with the Red Sox, about the big versus the small market teams and how they're handling this rain of money everywhere. And we're going to talk finally with Todd McCullough, the color man for the 76ers, about the AI situation. His locker is cleaned out. It's just a matter of where he's going to be. And, of course, the Suns won their 11th straight. My favorite team in the NBA right now for many reasons. When we come back, we'll be talking with Marv Levy. Stay tuned on Head Games Radio on Sports Byline Network and Sirius Channel 122.
The holiday season is approaching, and Tickets Now knows exactly what to give the special person in your life. Event tickets. Tickets Now has over 2 million tickets to the hottest sports, concert, and theater events in North America, and each one of them make excellent holiday gifts. Not sure what tickets to give? Give them a Tickets Now gift card, redeemable for any purchase at TicketsNow.com. Tickets Now gift cards make the perfect stocking stuffer. Remember, Tickets Now guarantees every transaction with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Find out for yourself today at TicketsNow.com. That's TicketsNow.com. TicketsNow.com. TicketsNow.com.
Hi, everybody. This is Nick Lowry, and I want to tell you about the most beautiful golf course I've ever played. It's called Quintero. It's already ranked in the top 10 in the country as a real estate golf course. I'm telling you, it is the most outstanding combination of beautiful fairways and views you will ever see. If you want to join one of the most outstanding new private courses in the country, go to QuinteroGolf.com or call 888-417-8468. That's 888-41-QUINT or 888-417-8468.
Keep the adventure in your travels, not your drinking water. Go ahead, take the road less traveled, because now you can have purified drinking water anytime, anywhere, just by packing a simple 8-ounce tool. SteriPen is compact, chemical-free, and kills over 99.99% of all unhealthy organisms in your drinking water within seconds. SteriPen is simple to use, so you can enjoy the journey and the drinking water. Available at REI stores everywhere, or go to REI.com. SteriPen, safe drinking water anywhere.
This is Nick Lowry, and I'm here to tell you about HeadGamesRadio.com, the official website of Head Games Radio. If you can't listen to the show every day, just go to HeadGamesRadio.com and join the Head Games team. You'll get to listen to Head Games highlights from our superstar guests. As a member, you'll be entitled to exclusive offers and information, so register with us so we can send you updates and special giveaways that non-members just can't get. Stay tuned. Check out HeadGamesRadio.com. Email us and join the Head Games family.
Petroni Vineyards produces the world's finest gold medal estate wines, prized by wine connoisseurs and enthusiasts. Experience Petroni Vineyards Poggio alla Pietra with its rich, seductive flavors. and Petroni Vineyards Tuscan-style extra virgin olive oil is prized by gourmets to create sumptuous recipes. To enjoy these culinary delights, visit PetroniVineyards.com and become a wine club member today. PetroniVineyards.com.
Yes, I was fired. It happens to most coaches. Well, what are you going to do? Are you going to just lie there in the fetal position and whimper?
Welcome back to Head Games Radio with a man that never let himself lie in the fetal position and whimper. Marv Levy is going to be joining us in just a second. Talk about one more surprising situation in the NFL. When you look at the opportunity that the New York Jets had after the Patriots were shut out The Patriots were shut out in Miami. Strange things happen in Miami. It's just a strange sort of warp. The Bermuda Triangle seems to happen there. But we talked with Marv Levy a couple weeks ago talking about the impact of the no huddle and, secondly, about making things too complicated for quarterbacks. And J.P. Losman obviously is a big reason why Buffalo is beginning to find its oats, but also a solid running game, great special teams, big plays, and an efficient passing attack. Here's Marv Levy.
A lot of plays on the wrist, man. I talked to Roethlisberger. I see all the plays that are on his wrist, too. And even I think I watched the other day when he was up the line of scrimmage, almost under the center, and he's looking at his wristband. I mean, you're supposed to be looking at the defense. What are you looking at your wristband for? So, I don't know. You always look at a guy like Brett Favre, and of course I admire what Peyton Manning has done the last few years and the type of quarterback he's become, probably one of the best. I'm sure by the time he's done with this whole thing, he'll be one of the best ever to play the game because he gets out of plays when he has to. He's almost like a coach on the field. I'm sure that the other two gentlemen will agree with that. That when you're a quarterback, you should know the ins and outs of everything that's going on, anyways, and not have to worry about somebody setting plays down into your ear every single play.
That was Jim Kelly, and we're going to cut off because Marv is joining us now. Marv, first of all, thanks for making time. It's your game planning day. What's the difference between what you used to do as the head coach and now as the general manager?
Oh, heck, you don't do any game plan. it's a vastly different job, Nick. One of the things I learned from Bill Polian and John Butler, who were general managers when I was here, is don't meddle with the coaching. You can throw them off the track. Actually, I'm there for consultation, but most of my work is done in personnel matters, running the pro personnel staff and the college personnel staff in preparation for the draft and free agency. And I'm here for counsel, but I don't want to mess up the coaching approach either.
Well, you had a huge game on Sunday, and once again, this NFL season is topsy-turvy. No one can predict anything. When I look at Dr. Z and his predictions, Paul Zimmerman for Sports Illustrated, he's below 50% half the time, and I'm below 50% half the time. So you have three big plays that seem to set the tone for Buffalo. Great, solid running game, great special teams. It sounds like a Marv Levy offense.
Well, it's something which I certainly approve of. And before we go into the season, those are things I hope we can address. And we seek very hard when we bring in new player personnel to get guys of good, solid character, good work ethic. But that was the difference last week. We did make the big plays. They happen when you make the other team strain a little bit and when your people get a better grasp of what you're doing. We had a 77-yard pass on a 3rd-and-3 situation where it looked like we were going to run a quick slant. Lee Evans ran a great fake on it. J.P. Losman pumped, and the secondary jumped it, and then Lee was gone for a touchdown. And then when they tried to play a little catch-up, that's when you can get the pressure on the passer and get the type of interception we got when Nate Clements returned one some 58 yards for a touchdown. So we're getting better. So is the opponent we face this week, the Miami Dolphins. They've won 5 of their last 6. We've won 4 of our last 6.
And that's part of the interesting notion of this season is teams that started off slow are speeding up. Tennessee, another big example of teams that have found themselves, certainly Vince Young. Let's talk about Vince Young for a second and comparing him to the development of J.P. Losman. Vince Young, how many people would have expected him to have this kind of impact this soon?
Well, boy, he really has done it. And, you know, probably the quarterbacks who are able to run extremely well have an earlier impact than maybe those who take a little more while take a little while longer to develop, who are primarily passers. Vince Young has passing abilities, but his ability to run and scramble and get that play and keep the chains moving a long distance have been magnificent. But for a rookie quarterback, just as you've alluded, Nick, to play as well as he's played on a team that was struggling early, that is remarkable.
Let's get back to your favorite subject, J.P. Losman. Leadership is a little bit easier when you are, let's say, throwing 15 times a game rather than 40 like Ben Roethlisberger, who used to throw 15 to 20 last year. All that pressure that's on him, it's kept it simple for J.P. Losman, hasn't it?
Well, yes. And, you know, first of all, he has really worked at it. He's prepared. He's done good things. He hasn't gotten frustrated when something's gone a little bit wrong. He's owned up when he's done something wrong, and he's responsive to a correction. Now, as our defense gets better, of course, he's not having to play desperation catch-up, and you can perform pretty well there. 15 times is all he threw this past week, no interceptions, threw for two touchdowns. Turnover certainly helped. When you have a great defense functioning, as Roethlisberger did a year ago, you don't have to throw a lot of times, and you're never playing in that desperate catch-up game.
Let's talk about Perry Fuel, your defensive coordinator, too. You had an interesting balance of man and zone blitzes. Seemed to confuse Chad Pennington into a couple of interceptions. Tell us about how that's improved over the last few weeks.
Well, our defense is based on fundamentals and hustle. It's not based on elaborate schemes. Actually, this last game that we played, we did not rush more than four men at any time. That's an eye blinker. You say, how do you get pressure on the passer? Great effort, great coverage. A lot of our sacks were, quote, coverage sacks, where Pennington really didn't have anyone to throw to. They've gotten better at executing what they do. The coaches haven't gotten exasperated and say, oh, we're just going to blitz every down and leave themselves vulnerable to the bomb.
And finally, without a great running back, it's got to be tough. Those teams at this time of year that can have a dominating running game, are going to have a different situation at quarterback. You saw it with Chicago last night, averaging 5, 6, and 7 yards a carry. Tell me about McGahee and what he's bringing to the consistency of the Buffalo team.
Well, Willis McGahee had a very good game against the Jets. He had his longest run from scrimmage, touchdown run from scrimmage of his career in the game, a 57-yarder. But our offensive line now, we had a shakeup in it about 6, 7 games ago. The same five have played. They've avoided injuries. They come together. They're starting to get rhythm. They're finally coming off the ball and helping. Willis is a strong runner. His confidence is growing, too, as he's beginning to understand how the plays are forming in front of him. We're getting good downfield blocking from our wide receivers and tight ends when they release off the ball. All of those things contribute to a good running game.
We're joined by the professor of passing, one of the best analysts in the NFL, if not the most popular. He's number two, and I think he is the best guy at explaining the game. Ron Jaworski, how are you?
I'm great, Nick. How are you, buddy? Good to be with you. Good to hear from Coach Levy there for a few minutes.
Well, I'm hearing from a Buffalo area resident here right now.
Yeah, I know. Hey, I know that, Coach. It's always good to hear you break down that running game. And, of course, McGahee did have a super effort last Sunday.
Yes,
Ron, let's hear about your analysis of J.P. Losman. I'd love to have Marv's comments on comparing the way you're bringing along a young quarterback there versus the Rex Grossman and what he's been going through.
Well, if you've watched the State Farm NFL matchup show throughout this season, you know I am a big J.P. Losman fan. We have had the opportunity to watch all of the Bills games on the coach's tape, and I have been able to see a nice evolution in his game. And what I really like is he actually came into NFL Films this offseason, spent some time with Greg Cosell and myself, and we looked at a number of games. And what I really liked about him, he really understood what the defense is trying to do. He understood how fronts fit into coverage. He understood linebacker positioning, how they could, in the pre-snap phase, it would help him understand what the coverage is going to be. A lot of young quarterbacks don't understand that. JP did understand it. I also like that he never blamed anyone. We sat here and went through a number of games where maybe protection broke down, a receiver may have run a poor route. He never pointed the finger at anyone. He assumed his own responsibility. To me, that's very important for a young quarterback, you know, to look at yourself in the mirror first, and he did that. That's why I really, you know, we knew all about the talent level, the ability to throw the football, to move in the pocket, but I love the fact that, you know, that he was critical of his own talents and his own abilities and was able to at least, you know, poke a little fun at himself and not lay it at someone else's legs.
Well, that's a great analysis. And before we let you go, Marv Levy, Josh, stay with us for a couple minutes. Marv, Tell us about what you're going to do in Miami, a team that shut out Tom Brady.
Yeah, oh, they're playing magnificently on defense. Dom Capers, their defensive coordinator, has done a magnificent job with them. Jason Taylor not only is leading them in sacks, he's leading them in interceptions. They move him all around. No, it's a tough game. We played a close one with them before. We're both teams, I think, getting better. We're not going to say what our game plan is. In fact, this is only early Tuesday. We don't even know what exactly it's going to be right now. But it's a team that definitely is on the rise, and their defense, I think, now is either second or third in the NFL. So that's quite a task we have. They shut out the Patriots. Wow.
Well, Marv, thanks for joining us, buddy. My money's on Buffalo this week, my friend. Thanks for joining us.
Nice to be with you, and good to have a chance to even visit with Ron here. Thank you.
Thanks, Coach. Always a pleasure.
We'll be right back with Ron Jaworski on Head Games on Sports Byline and Sirius Channel 122.
Sudden ups and downs, breathtaking twists and turns. No, it's not a roller coaster. It's the stock market. But it doesn't have to be a rough ride. Just subscribe to Barron's, America's premier financial weekly. Subscribe now and get 13 weeks of Barron's for only $39. Each fact-filled issue brings you investing insights, market information, and special reports you won't find anywhere else. Special reports that include the best-performing companies, mutual fund managers, and the outlook for stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. That's not all. Subscribe today and you'll also get Barron's Guide to Building Wealth, plus 4 weeks of Barron's Online free with your paid subscription. All the tools you need to make smarter investment decisions. That's 13 weeks of Barron's, plus the Guide to Building Wealth, and 4 weeks of Barron's Online, all for only $39. This offer is available to new subscribers in the continental U.S.
Call now, 800-828-2639. That's 800-828-2639.
Hey, Tanya Roberts here, and I want to know, where are you going on your next romantic getaway? Well, how about 3 days and two nights in Las Vegas? And what about you don't pay a dime for it? That's right. Act like a high roller in Vegas and pay nothing for it. It's all part of our celebration of Vegas' newest five-star resort, Tahiti Village. We want you to get out of Dodge. Stir up a little romantic magic in the most exciting city on earth with a complimentary second honeymoon, all on Tahiti Village. Come on, you know you deserve it. It. You know you want it. Las Vegas is calling. So stop what you're doing and call this special toll-free number, 866-50-GO-WIN. Oh, and as a bonus, if you call right now, they're going to throw in tickets to a hot show right on the strip. Can we say high roller treatment, baby? So call 866-50-GO-WIN for all the exciting details. That's 866-50-GO-WIN. Call now.
Do you want to own a brand new computer and improve your credit score at the same time? If you have less than perfect credit but can afford a weekly payment of $29.99 for just 12 months, then you're already approved for a brand new Dell, HP, or other name brand computer. Guaranteed.
Bad credit? No problem. There's no credit check, so you won't be turned down. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a weekly payment of $29.99 for just 12 months, you're approved for your brand new name brand computer. Call 800-787-2816. Guaranteed Consumer Funding says you're approved. Give us a call today at 800-787-2816 to have your brand new computer shipped right to you. Act now. We'll add over $700 in premium upgrades and an MP3 player for free. And with select models, we'll throw in a free printer. So get the computer of your dreams today and improve your credit at the same time. Call 800-787-2816. That's 800-787-2816.
There's 95 guys or 97 doing the right thing the right way and two or three jerks. So two or three jerks get 97% of the attention.
Join Head Games Radio. Call 800-878-PLAY. That's 800-878-7529. And now, here's your host, Nick Lowry.
We just got 5 minutes left with the professor of passing, Ron Jaworski, and Buddy. Let's start with Rex Grossman. I mean, I looked at that protection in the first half, and I saw John Tate. I saw a half-decent job from him sometimes. Other times, they were coming right around the corner. They didn't keep backs in. It didn't look like it was just Rex Grossman's fault.
Well, it never is, you know, the quarterback's fault in totality. You know, every quarterback in this league must have protection. But quite honestly, Rex was struggling. I thought he had a solid game last night, did not turn the football over. And when he was struggling, you know, prior weeks to last night, he was making poor decisions with the football, not seeing the field with clarity, you know, not throwing the football accurately. I thought yesterday, and you know, he settled down a little bit and was seeing the field better. And when you're with the Bears and that offense, that solid defense and their great special teams, just be a caretaker with the football.
Well, let's finish off. Do you think that this is really the sign that Rex can be the guy the rest of the year? And do you put your money on Baltimore or Chicago at this point?
No, I got my money on San Diego. I got to throw them in there. I think right now they are playing the most consistent football of any team in the league. They have all
in the AFC.
In the NFC, I'm going to still stay with Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Drew Brees, without Joe Horn, absolutely decimates Dallas. Who's the MVP at this point? Do you give it to LT, or do you think that Drew Brees, given how valuable he is to his team?
Well, I think, Nick, when you look at this, you almost could segregate it. Of course, there are 3 weeks to go in the season, but I think if you talk about player of the year, it's got to be LaDainian Tomlinson. If you talk about most valuable player, it's got to be Drew Brees. I don't think the Saints would be where they are at if they had anyone else quarterbacking that team but Drew Brees. I'm actually, you know, looking at the game right now at my office at NFL Films, sitting with Greg Cosell, and the one thing we're talking about is the great job that Sean Payton, the head coach, and Doug Marrone, the offensive coordinator, have done. In this game, they are really doing a great job of anticipating the Cowboys' coverage. A lot of man-to-man schemes, so the Saints are running a lot of picks and rubs and doing the things to get the receivers open. So clearly, Brees understands what they want to do, and the coach is setting him up for success.
Every week it seems like you're about to crown one team as a Super Bowl favorite. Dallas seemed to be that, certainly on Thanksgiving Day, and then suddenly it's almost as if the emperor has no clothes. What is the difference this year? I've never seen a season where from week to week teams are so inconsistent.
Well, I think it's exactly what the National Football League is about. You know, you think of this league as parity, although I think in previous years we've seen more teams in playoff contention. It looks like, you know, the playoff picture, although except in a few situations, is pretty clear. And I think there is a separation from the top-tier teams as well. I think if you look at the AFC, you have San Diego, Baltimore. I think you have a significant fall after that. I think the NFC, you have to look at the Bears, you have to look at New Orleans, you have to look at the Cowboys. I think after that you have a significant fall off. So, yeah, there may be parity, but I still think the dominant teams are dominant.
I'll tell you what, man, I put a quarter in the machine, and you spit it out, brother. You were the best. Listen, one last question, which is,
sure, Nick.
It's interesting how the media today in sports will crown someone, not just a Super Bowl champion, but a Hall of Famer after 5-6 weeks or 1 or 2 or 3 or 4 seasons. We talked yesterday with Sam Huff and Len Dawson about the talk about LT, and Marty Schottenheimer is a loyal coach. He's a great coach, best coach I ever had, but he was saying that LT is the greatest running back he's ever had. Here's Sam Huff.
Thanks, Sam. Oh, he has sunglasses on. Marty Schottenheimer never played against Jim Brown, okay? I think maybe Emmitt Smith, you can compare him to that. Maybe, I don't know, Emmitt's got taken up dancing now, so I don't know. Running backs are running backs. You know, they're just as good as their offensive line, and that's it. You know, as far as I'm concerned, and the way they play defense now, you're not allowed to hit anybody with your helmet, and the offensive line are allowed to grab the defensive line, and the only time they call holding is when they take them down. So this game has changed since Jim Brown played, and I'll tell you what, under today's rules, if you give that ball to Jim Brown in his prime, you wouldn't even mention Tomlinson.
You know, with all due respect to LT, who is absolutely doing things that haven't been done before, Jim Brown's still my pick.
Well, beauty is in the eye of the beholder, and clearly Jim Brown was a great player. Eric Dickerson, Walter Payton, Emmitt Smith, you can go on and on and on. And I'm not going to say, you know, LaDainian Tomlinson is the greatest running back ever, but certainly Marty Schottenheimer believes that. He coaches the guy. He's with him every single day. I could understand why Marty Schottenheimer feels so strongly about LaDainian Tomlinson, and actually why the San Diego Chargers feel so strongly about LT. If you saw what happened when he scored that 29 touchdown, you saw the entire offensive line, the quarterback, the fullback Lorenzo Neal, the wide receivers all go there and hoist LaDainian in the air. That's how strongly they feel about him. So I could understand where Marty Schottenheimer's coming from.
and he is certainly, you can make the argument, and I will, that he is the most versatile running back of all time.
Well, I never saw Jim Brown throw a touchdown pass, and I've seen LaDainian do quite a few of them. But you know, that's what makes the game so great, Nick. You know, there are different eras of the game. You know, the rules change every few years. The rules change to help the offense. People like scoring. You know, and there are different eras of the game. And in his era, Jim Brown was the best. I think you could say Emmitt Smith, Eric Dickerson, Walter Payton, their eras were the best. Maybe in this era, in the 21st century, LaDainian Tomlinson is the best. Pretty hard to argue that right now.
Ron Jaworski, you are the best, my friend. Who's your pick this week? What's the biggest game of the week?
Well, it's interesting how it's going to play out, because there's a big game Saturday night, Dallas and Atlanta. That could change how big of a magnitude the game in Philadelphia at New York will be, because if Dallas loses, the Eagles and the Giants could be looking at getting back into a first-place tie in the NFC East. So clearly some big games over the weekend.
Well, thanks for joining us. You are absolutely the best, my friend.
Thanks.
We'll be listening.
Always great to be with you. It was good to be with Coach Levy, a Hall of Fame coach and a Hall of Fame person.
He certainly is. Thanks, Josh.
All right. Thanks, Nick.
Go back to work. Go back to the cave, buddy. Hey, we are switching over to the baseball beat with our reporter, a guy that delivers it every single week, Jim Beatty, a man who's been a two-time general manager for the Expos, and I call him general manager, vice president certainly for the Orioles. Jim Beatty, it's been crazy the last few weeks. What do you have for us?
Well, Nick, you know, they've been spending the money. As I said earlier, they have a new agreement with the players' union. It went down very easily, so obviously everybody feels like they're flush with cash. And when that happens, owners are ready to spend it, and they've been spending it. They've been spending it on some players that are really, especially starting pitching. That's a commodity out there, and some of the guys out there that are signing for $8 to $10 million a year are really number three, number four starters in a rotation. So it would be amazing to think what an ace in his prime might be getting in this. And I guess maybe we'll find that out. Zito may be one of those guys. I think. He is an ace, he is in his prime, and he's ready to sign a big contract, probably looking at about 16, possibly even $18 million a year.
Well, some of the general managers whisper behind the scenes that they've got to educate their owners to understand, and the fans, that these big contracts may look good in print, they may show that the team is committed to trying to find the best players for the team, but later they bite you right in the butt.
Well, you know what happens is they go, especially when you go to the winter meetings. The winter meetings... And if Barry Bonds can show up at the winter meetings looking for a job, any player can. And that's what happens. They parade these players around in front of the media, around in front of the general managers. You have meetings, you call the agent up, you call the player, and you meet with both of them. And you say all those good things, but in the end, you got to come up with a contract for them. And it's tough for general managers. When they want to try to improve their club, they go to the winter meetings thinking, and just as they did at the GM meetings, thinking either a trade or signing a free agent. But when the dollars go wild, you have to explain to your fans through the media, and sometimes your owner, because the owner's ready to spend some money. You have to tell him, wait a minute, let's step back and look at reality here. This guy, if we signed him to that $10 million contract, there's a very good chance he could underperform that contract over the long run. He may give you 1 year or 2 years, but certainly not five or six. And the GMs try to do that, but sometimes the general managers take a look at the short run too, because if they take a look at the long run, they may not be around for the long run.
How much does it vary, Jim Beatty, from team to team? We know the George Steinbrenner is going to be very different from the Royals ownership, certainly, but how much does it vary in terms of the personalities and how you approach each different owner?
Well, it depends on how involved each owner is. As you said, mentioned George Steinbrenner. I worked with an owner, Jeffrey Loria, who owns the Marlins now. He owned the Expos when I was with them. And these guys get very involved. They get involved where they directly deal with the agent. And the agents like that. They like to talk to ownership because they're the guys with the wallet. They're the guys with the cash. They don't have to talk to a general manager and have the general manager say, I'll get back to you. But the general manager has a much better feel for the market. And an owner may say, I want that guy, I don't care how much it costs, and that's why the agents like to go and talk to the owners directly. Now, certainly there are some ownership groups that aren't involved because they are exactly that. They aren't a single owner like a Steinbrenner, but they're a group that have to make decisions in meetings. And when that happens, things happen a little more slowly. And so the agents try to use it when you have an owner that likes to be involved. They like to cut through all of the talking that has to go on and go right to the guy with the wallet.
In our last 30 seconds of this segment, what is Dayton Moore thinking? How is he able to accomplish, and how big a deal is it to get Gilmesh, a reasonably good, not necessarily great pitcher, for a small market team like Kansas City?
Well, Kansas City has some good bats coming along. They need some pitching, and those young bats won't cost them much money for the next couple years. Probably with Mesh's five-year contract, in the third or fourth year of his contract, those bats are going to be looking for money. And so for the time being, he has money in his payroll. He can spend it on pitching. He doesn't have to spend it on bats.
When we come back with Jim Beattie and the update everybody's been waiting for, we're going to talk about Bonds re-signing, the deferred money he's getting, and also the Matsusaka situation with Theo Epstein. You're listening to Jim Beattie on Head Games on Sports Byline and Sirius Satellite.
Look, honey, it's the Joneses.
Oh, they've come caroling again.
One, two, three, and... We just got ourselves a T-Bone. T-Bone has exclusive features. We can record two shows at once. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. And transfer programs to our laptop.
Only TiVo has exclusive features that let you schedule recordings from the web, transfer shows to your handheld device or iPod, or pre-approve the best TV for your kids to watch. Until December 31st, go to Best Buy, Circuit City, Radio Shack, or TiVo.com for a free TiVo box after mail-in rebate and service commitment. See TiVo.com for details and discover why everyone is singing our praises.
Shouldn't we tell them we already have a TiVo?
Nah, let them have their fun.
Remember, it's not TiVo unless it's a TiVo.
Hi, everybody. This is Nick Lowry, and I want to tell you about the most beautiful golf course I've ever played. It's called Quintero. It's already ranked in the top 10 in the country as a real estate golf course. I'm telling you, it is the most outstanding combination of beautiful fairways and views you will ever see. If you want to join one of the most outstanding new private courses in the country, go to QuinteroGolf.com or call 888-417-8468. That's 888-41-QUINT or 888-417-8468.
If you're self-employed or you run a small business and you need competitive health insurance, pick up the phone and call the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company. 866-503-MEGA. You don't even have to leave your home or office. Call us now and a friendly Mega Health representative will come to you and explain your health insurance options. So again, if you're self-employed, run a small business, or if you're on a COBRA plan and it's about to expire and you need dependable, reliable health insurance, call Mega Health now for a free quote. 866-503-MEGA. 866-503-MEGA. That's 866-503-MEGA. These competitive health insurance plans are underwritten by the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company, and coverage may not be available in all states. So call now and see if you qualify. 866-503-MEGA. 866-503-MEGA. That's 866-503-MEGA.
Did you hear Ron Barr's interviews with the biggest names in sports last week? Now there's a way to make sure you never miss hearing from your favorite player. Sign up for the Sports Byline USA podcast and never miss a show. With podcasting, we deliver the greatest names in the game directly to your computer every day, automatically. Just go to sportsbyline.com and click on the Get Podcast button and never miss another show. Visit sportsbyline.com today.
Well, I don't like to politicize it because it's not about being a Democrat or a Republican. They both suck, to be honest with you.
And now, back to Head Games Radio with Nick Lowry. Join the conversation now by calling 800-878-PLAY. That's 800-878-7529.
Welcome back to Head Games Radio with Jim Beattie. Jim, let's first start with the Matsusaka situation. It's almost like brinkmanship because Matsusaka's people have made no response offer. So why are the Red Sox apparently coming hat in hand to California?
Well, I'm sure in Scott's mind, and you know, he said he feels his client is worth well in excess of $100 million. That's a counteroffer in Scott's mind.
How's he come up with that?
Well, he's probably taking a look at, and from what I understand, the Red Sox agree that for a 26-year-old free agent pitcher with this kid's talent, that he'd be worth $100 million for 6 years. So you're taking a look at, what is that, $16, $17 million a year. And but the Red Sox feel he's worth that amount of money. However, they've already paid over $50 million just for the chance to talk to him and would like to say that for 6 years they'll pay him the remainder of that, another $50 million for 6 years. That doesn't sit well with Scott.
What do you think is going to happen? In other words, who has the most leverage at this point? Because there are those that are saying Matsusaka really doesn't want to go back to Japan anyway.
Well, I mean, you take a look at leverage on both sides. If in the end, if nothing happens, they don't get the player signed, it hasn't cost the Red Sox anything, but they also haven't improved their pitching staff. On the other side, Matsusaka wants to come over here and pitch. They have until, I believe, tomorrow night at midnight to get it done, which means that they have to bring him back, get a physical. They could do the physical in California, but you always prefer to have your own team doctors do the physical. So all that has to take place before midnight tomorrow night. I understand they're going to negotiate all day today to try to get it done, and it's going to be a 11th-hour agreement if there's an agreement at all. Matsusaka can go back and be posted again at the end of next year, but at the end of 2008 season, he's a free agent anyway. Boris may let him make the decision, but in the end, as Scott says, Matsusaka will be a major league pitcher, whether it's now, after the end of the 07 season, or at the end of the 08 season.
I got three more questions for you, Jim Beatty. Before we get to Barry Bonds, has L.A. had the strongest offseason by taking away the best pitcher for the Giants? Have they essentially got a double hit?
Well, that certainly helps them in their division now, but one of their pitchers went to San Diego, so that has helped them as well. I think San Francisco, with their pitching, they've got to hope that some of their young arms, they invest in a lot of young arms in the draft, they've got to hope that some of their young arms can step up and take the place of a Schmidt. But there's a little bit of gamesmanship going there. L.A. has jumped out to try to do some things in re-signing Garcia Parra, make sure that he comes back. They've got an outstanding minor league system, possibly the best in baseball, so they do have some young players coming along. And when you have a guy like Schmidt to be the ace of that staff, and they have some other good starting pitchers, they actually have an excess right now, and there is talk about possibly trading Penny to help out in other areas.
Let's shift from starting pitchers to relief pitchers. You look at the Cardinals, 83 wins, but they had such outstanding relief when it mattered in the big games, and contrast that with the Diamondbacks, with the Royals. You know, the teams that are in smaller markets rarely seem to have those dominant relief pitchers. Is there any chance that they need to focus more on the closers, the guys that essentially put the ball in the hole and win the game?
Well, generally, you want to have at least a good, strong three starters. Now, what the Cardinals did is they had those good, strong three starters, but they got some help at the second half of the season in areas that they weren't counting on. In signing Jeff Weaver, who essentially was released by California, he was designated for assignment. They were just trying to get rid of him so they could bring up Weaver's younger brother. But St. Louis got Weaver, had a quality arm, had trouble winning. And Dave Duncan, who I had as a pitching coach in Seattle, is excellent with makeup and helping you to think out there as to what your game plan is. And Weaver, as a free agent this year, is still considering re-signing with the Cardinals because he, I would think, understands that Dave Duncan helped him a lot and he's going to be worth a lot to his career as a much better pitcher. The other part of that is that the Cardinals had Isringhausen as their stopper, and he got hurt in the second half of the season, and they got Adam Wainwright to come out, who had been a starter, been in the bullpen, and they said, we're going to hand it over to you. This guy grew up in the playoffs like nobody else really did. This guy had really no experience as a closer before this past year, and really only about a month of it before he got in the playoffs. He stepped up, shut down some tight games in the playoffs and the World Series, and really showed that every once in a while you got to give a young guy a shot. They were forced to do it because of injuries, and their guys came through for them.
Finally, the Barry Bonds situation. Deferred money but a chance to make more. How well did San Francisco handle this situation?
Well, I think they did what they had to do. I think they got Bonds and his agent in a situation regardless of all the posturing, there really, in my mind, there were no other teams that were in a situation that they wanted to take on Barry Bonds, regardless of how much it cost them. And the Giants were in a position, their fans understand, they have gone through all these bumps and bruises with his career over the last couple of years. If he's going to do anything historical in the next year, the Giants fans want it to be there. And I think the Giants handled it well. They let him know that we understand that you're a valuable commodity to us. I think you've got to go out there and find out on your own, which his agent did in talking to other teams, that there's not a lot of other opportunities out there for you. So come on back when you're ready to talk, and we'll talk. We won't embarrass you, which they did not do. They gave him a very generous contract, a cut from his last year, but with a chance to make more, and that's a good contract.
I think they could have probably saved a couple more million dollars if they'd played more hardball, so I think Barry Bonds comes out ahead in that one. But in the end, if he has a big year, maybe everybody wins. But thanks for joining us, Jim Beatty. Appreciate your homework. You've done a great job, as usual.
You bet, Nick. Always a pleasure. And I enjoyed listening on the phone to the football stuff while I was waiting to come on.
Hey, next time we're going to have you with Marv Levy and talk about the difference between your jobs as general managers. But thanks for joining us, Jim.
That'd be interesting. Thanks, Nick. Have a great day.
You bet. Moving to the NBA. One of the hot, probably the hot topic is the Allen Iverson situation with a team in Philadelphia that is in suspended animation. The color man for the 76ers is on with us. Tiny little Todd McCullough. How are you, buddy?
Good. How are you guys doing today?
Good. Is it distracting, sort of like with Terrell Owens, when Bill Parcells wants to talk about everything but Terrell Owens, doesn't even refer to him, and yet this is, you know, the 500-pound gorilla in the room?
Well, I think it's got to be in. I'm no longer in the locker room, but there was always trade talks, never of this magnitude. But you know, this is not a new thing. There was talks about Allen Iverson being traded this past summer, and there was some interest and some things that almost went down. I remember when I was playing, Allen Iverson was going to be involved in a trade, and Matt Geiger had a trade kicker, and he wouldn't waive it, so the deal was dead. So it's not a new thing, but obviously when a player of Allen's caliber who's played here his whole career and taken the team to the finals a few years ago and has really been established and only seen in a Sixers uniform, it's big news around the world. I mean, he's a popular athlete in China. He's a popular athlete all around the world. So it's the top story, and I don't know where he's going to end up, but it doesn't look like he'll be a Sixer for much longer.
I remember it was a tough situation being with the Jets when we were 3-13, followed by 1-15, and I wanted to finish my season with a team that could take it. I wasn't even getting on the field. In the first five games, I think I had one field goal attempt. You know, anybody that wants to win is going to be frustrated in that situation, but having the 76ers really hurt their leverage by making this so obvious that he's gone anyway so teams can wait?
Well, I don't know. You know, it may have not. Who knows whether it was a good idea to kind of put a deadline on, and whether that deadline is a hard deadline or a soft one. I mean, there's nothing. They kind of want to get this done just because it is kind of a media circus. And from what I understand in other trades, it seems like your best offers always come at the beginning of negotiations, and then as you turn things down, then the offers are less and less generous. So, you know, I don't think there's any reason to rush. I mean, any big story seems to sometimes get bigger until something happens, or other times people just, you know, they'll check back in when something has happened. So, you know, there's a whole lot of things being written right now, and I'm just kind of waiting back and taking care of the broadcasting business until we find out what the trade is for and who we end up with, and then you can start analyzing it when something's done, rather than all the speculation when I don't think a whole lot of people have any kind of inside information in terms of what the they're thinking.
Well, we're paying you the big bucks to give your opinion. Just kidding, but seriously, people talk about the Pacers, the Kings. The owner of the Kings, Joe Malouf said that they're not worried about putting two volatile players in Ron Artest together with AI. What do you think, in your opinion, simply? It's a crystal ball, and maybe it's a murky crystal ball, but what do you think is going to be the team that could have the most motivation and benefit the most from AI?
Well, I think for a long time, you know, Allen's been able to put a lot of people in the stands here in Philadelphia, and the NBA is a business, so I think there's some teams of some of the smaller markets that have been hurting for people in the stands that may want to take a stab at them, and I know Portland's one of those smaller markets that needs people. I know Atlanta's been looking for some all-star power and for a new draw in another city. I know Boston was definitely interested this summer, and that trade nearly went through. Minnesota, I think, would love to have him, but I think their owner has come out and said that it's just financially it's going to be very difficult to make it work. There's no shortage of teams that want to add Allen Iverson to their roster. They want him to play alongside with their, you know, all-star or the star players that they've had, but they don't want to have to give those guys up. And so it's in today's market, in the free agent market, with the money guys are making, how the money has to be close to 20-25% during a trade, it's going to make it difficult to move them. I mean, but they're committed to doing that, and I'm quite sure that it will happen.
And the thing about a team like Sacramento is you've got some guys like Mike Bibby. Obviously, a team is not going to lose too much when you get a Mike Bibby back in return. You've got some guys with expiring contracts like Potapenko and Maurice Taylor and Corliss Williamson as well, who have to be, it may be a multi-team trade as well. But where's your money? If you have to make a bet right now, putting you on the spot, where's your money?
It sounds good to me. I mean, if he went to Sacramento and you get Mike Bibby in return, I mean, it sounds like... sounds like Sacramento could be a real possibility, and really a lot of it has to do with whether teams are willing to go over the salary cap, and the Knicks are way over. Some teams refuse to go above it, and other teams don't mind doing that. So if you take on his salary, you're going to pay twice as much money in luxury tax, and some people have no problem with that. So it'll probably be a team that's willing to be over the cap. And
they can afford it.
Yeah, and I think the Maloofs are committed to spending a lot of money to things that will their team win basketball games, and there's no question that Allen does a lot of great things on the court.
Well, that's where my money is. In our last minute here with Tom McCullough, color man for the 76ers, let's talk about comparing an Allen Iverson, who's going to be and has been branded many times as volatile, but also as not a team player, and I'm not so sure that's really true. It's the frustration of being part of a loser, comparing him to a Grant Hill.
Well,
here's Rick Bucher.
Grant Hill is the type of guy who essentially won the lottery, had absolutely no reason to continue working, and he did it strictly, worked his way through the type of injuries that a lot of us would never dream of trying to come back and play on the NBA level through. He did exactly that, and so for all of the success stories that you might find in the NBA, for me, a guy like Grant Hill, who has persevered simply to come back and play and contribute, not necessarily win a ring. I don't know that Orlando's going to do that.
That's Grant Hill as described by Rick Bucher. Do you think that there's a chance for AI to resurrect himself now? We just got 10 seconds.
I think definitely it's a fresh start, and he plays hard, and maybe he'll end up with a ring someday. He's obviously talented. He's been to the finals, and I think he can start fresh.
Well, Tom McCullough from the 76ers, appreciate it. Good luck with this next week, because I'm sure it's happening soon, my friend. Appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
Tom McCullough from the 76ers. We'll be right back on Head Games on Sports Byline and Sirius Satellite.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There is a tremendous price war among the major term life companies, and you may be paying too much. Consider these possible rates. A man, age 45, non-tobacco user, issue preferred, $1 million of coverage, is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man, age 50, non-tobacco user, issue preferred, can obtain $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $113, guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right. Guaranteed level rates for the next 20 years. If you're a smoker, there are great rates available for you as well. TermBusters specializes in term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more. So call this number now for a free quote.
800-430-6715. 800-430-6715. Call 24/7. 800-430-6715. 800-430-6715.
Are you losing your hair? Is that bald spot getting bigger? Is your hair looking thinner? Why aren't you using Avacor, the hair growth treatment that's helped thousands of people just like you regrow their hair?
It's been 3 months now. I've been on Avacor, and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old.
we're giving away a free month of Abacor with all of today's orders. Abacor is proven to successfully stop hair loss and regrow hair. Call 800-450-9743 for your risk-free trial of Abacor. Call now, 800-450-9743. All of today's orders will receive an additional month's supply of Abacor absolutely free.
Abacor really works. I just love it. It's like a miracle. I couldn't be happier.
Satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. That's 800-450-9743. 800-450-9743.
Golf Digest is going to cure your slice now, and that's a guarantee. Introducing the breakthrough video, Cure Your Slice Now, and it's free with your paid subscription to Golf Digest magazine. In this video, top PGA instructor Chuck Cook shows you the seven key phases of the swing and gives you his proven method for better control and longer, straighter drives. And here's our guarantee. If Golf Digest and Cure Your Slice Now doesn't cure your slice and improve your game, cancel the subscription and keep the video free. Every month in Golf Digest, you get easy-to-follow instruction from the best teachers and players in golf, information on the top equipment, the best places to play, and you also get the removable Pocket Tips booklet. Call now. Use your credit card and get your first risk-free issue, the Pocket Tips booklet, and the video free. You get 11 more issues for only $19.77. If your game doesn't improve, cancel your subscription and keep the video, booklet, and magazine free.
Call 800-828-2639. That's 800-828-2639 for Golf Digest.
Head Gaines, I want to thank Ron Jaworski from ESPN. Gosh, he is good. Marv Levy and a resurgent team. Interesting how Tennessee, Miami, Buffalo, teams that have come back during this season. Other teams are fading fast. Those teams are coming on. Jim Beattie, I want to thank him, covering Major League Baseball. Todd McCullough, 76ers color man. Tomorrow we'll have Dallas Morning News NFL correspondent Rick Goslin. Thursday we'll have two Broncos Hall of Famers, Floyd Little and Mark Slareth from ESPN. I want to close with a quote from Len Dawson. For those of you that think LT is the greatest, and I think he's the greatest guy in the game today, no question about it. But give him a couple more years before we talk about comparing him with Jim Brown. Here's Len Dawson.
Well, I played with Jim Brown for 2 years, or I watched him play for 2 years. I watched him, he and Sam Huff go at it many times, and he was special, and he was a great athlete, not just a football player. He changed the rules in lacrosse. He was a basketball player. You know, he beat Bobby Mitchell in a 40-yard dash in training camp, so he had great speed. So he had it all, and I'll tell you, and he had to carry the ball 30 times a ball game in every game, and he knew it, and I don't know how he did it, but he was never in the training room in the 2 years that I was with the Cleveland Browns.
Listen, I'll tell you what, I'm still going with Jim Brown. You give LT one more year like this, I'll begin to talk about it, but I'm with you guys. Well, we want to thank you for listening today. We want to thank Len Dawson and Sam Huff from yesterday's show to talk about that. And tomorrow we'll keep talking about this. Keep talking about what are the qualities of the great running backs, whether it's LT, some of the other people out there, because the tackling is not what it used to be. The rules are not what they used to be. And the fact that a Jim Brown, as Len Dawson said, never went to the training room. Now, he did not have the versatility of a LaDainian Tomlinson, the ability to throw the ball, the ability to catch the ball out of the backfield at that level. But give him the chance to play with today's rules, I think most people would say Jim Brown would absolutely dominate this game and make Larry Johnson, as great as Larry Johnson is, look not nearly the same kind of caliber running back. Thanks for listening to Head Games Radio. As we said, tomorrow, Dallas Morning News expert on the NFL, Rick Goslin. We'll have Mark Slareth from ESPN, one of my favorite people covering the NFL, with another Broncos Hall of Famer, Floyd Little. Check out Head Games Radio. That's headgamesradio.com for all the highlights. We'll see you tomorrow.